Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Kezia. Thank you so much, Sister Yinka and Pastor Austin. Thank you for your obedience. We thank God for everyone on the line tonight. We give God glory for the hunger He's put in all our hearts. We just want more, and we'll continue to decrease so that He can fill us with more of Him. Amen. I really thank God for you all. Father, we have come again together in your presence. Father, you put a hunger in our heart, and we are confident, O God, because of your promise, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Father, continue, God, to empty us of anything that is not of you, and give us hunger to be filled more with you. Father, that we, in all that we do in this generation, will constantly reflect you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the faithfulness of your sons and daughters on this line. Have your way tonight and glorify your son, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I don't know, hopefully we'll get to just a few things that we might be looking at, but I really feel before we share anything, we want to really thank God for what happened this last weekend at the Willing Women's Conference. God has opened the door for SLPN to be able to, you know, the ministries we partner with, for us to travel to be in some of these conferences. We just came from that of Redeem 2 weeks ago, and then we were at the Willing Women's Conference this last weekend. And I believe most of the people on this line were at that conference. I just want to say this, if you are not there, please bear with me a little bit. But for those of you that were there, I really want to encourage us. When we have an epic moment in our lives, these are, we call them transitional moments or encounters with the Lord. These are not moments we take lightly, because these are moments that will never probably happen the same way again in your life. So when you go to a meeting like that, for those of you who are not there, basically the best way I can describe that gathering was literally an encounter with an open heaven, with God. So it was the impartation, the transformation was revolutionary. If nobody else received anything, I believe that meeting, if it was just for me, it was for me. I just could not even begin to express the way God met me there and the depths to which God really revealed himself because of the things that were deep in my heart. I never shared with anybody that were confirmed there as signs of the prophetic times of the season. So I just want to encourage of you that were there. There are certain indicators that the Lord gave to us through a parable, that these indicators, because of our human nature, they are things that the enemy uses to literally uproot the word of God from us. The word of God, right from the presence of the Lord, can be detoured, can be derailed, can be stolen from us. And those ways, those indicators, Jesus gave it. He says, a sower goes to sow seeds. He's talking about sowing. That's what the word of God is. He says, as he sows the seed, he said some of the seeds fell on the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorns, and then some fell on good soil, good ground. Basically, what he was describing there was, as humans, as long as we live here, of course, the parable is deeper than that, is that sometimes the way we receive the word from heaven, or the way we appropriate an encounter, can determine if that thing will bear fruit in our life, or if we see the the purpose for which God allowed us to be in such atmospheres. It says some of the seeds, well, the people just walks out of that place and immediately that they lose connection with what just happened there or what they received. Then some, they can leave that meeting just like I really felt the need to share what I shared there. They leave that meeting and just trials from nowhere will just come and immediately begins to misdirect the ability to anchor themselves in what they received. And then some, it says the cares of this life, they go back again to the cycle, the busyness, the running around, the whirlwind of what jobs and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. And they lose the potentials of what they received. And it says, but some fell on good soil. The good soil really is those who truly meditate. Take some time. Stop as much as you can, whatever, find some time and really meditate on what happened this weekend. Meditate especially on how it impacted you. The things God spoke to you personally. The thing He spoke to your family. Or this is the word of the Lord. When you hear from God, it's not a joke. You appropriate that. You take it. Psalms 1 says, you meditate. You let this word enter into your blood, into your system. And you solidify it. You consolidate it. You settle it in your heart. You own it. And after you have deposited it to that level, no temptation, no business, nothing else will steal it from you. Because that word eventually will manifest its purpose, will bring forth the fruit for which God has sent it. The reason I'm saying this, I don't know how many of you were there, but so many people have encounters with God. But not everybody allow those encounters to fulfill the reason for which God has released it. Here's an example in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews 4. He said that, you know, the children of Israel received the promise, but not every one of them mixed the promise with faith. They received the word from the Lord, they will enter a promised land. They were all given the same word. But the Bible says those that did not mix it with faith, they perished in the wilderness. They didn't make it. They didn't possess it. So we can receive, we can be impacted, we can be infused, we can be on the mountaintop. But when Moses came down to the valley and he saw the wickedness, he destroyed the thing God gave to him. So if we're not careful, the opportunity that we had this weekend, which is very rare, I've been around the body of Christ, you've been there. It was literally an open heaven. You can walk away from there and go back to the same cycle of life. Or you can choose for that to be a defining moment for the next level of your walk with God. So please, find some time and digest your experience this weekend. Find some time and soak it into the very bloodline of faith. Don't let religion just have fun and just go. No, don't let that take advantage of whatever happened to you this weekend. And if you were not there, try to get the tapes and listen to it with the ears of faith and allow God to speak into your heart. Amen. Because these were the different kind of moments in my personal life that have turned my life to the point where I seize those different moments and really say, this is the God of heaven. Who am I that God will speak or even cause me to experience Him at this level? Then I make commitment, I covenant with those experiences, and I say, God, have your way. And let the purpose for which you've done this bring glory to you. And then whatever the price is, as long as you have digested that thing, faith will rise in you. And you are ready to step out by grace and watch God do, you know, fulfill His desires. So I pray that this experience this weekend will never leave anybody the same. And the bottom line and the most of the confirmation for me, all I can say to you, because I know this for a fact and because of the confirmation, we are in a new season. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 talks about to every purpose of heaven, there's a time and a season. And God has given seasons with the life of farmers, the nature. If you look at the weather, has seasons in a year, four seasons in a year. Farmers have the sowing and reaping seasons. So in every year, there is a cycle of seasons. And God wants every year of our life to have the seasons we have sown and prayed and also have seasons of harvesting. That there is a point of a growing from glory to glory. Every year, there must be a reason for us to see a spiritual growth in our lives, you know, or spiritual breakthroughs yearly, you know, because of the cycle of seasons. So we have entered literally a new season, and we, by the grace of God, we'll be unpacking and revealing the process of this season as we go into the rest of the year. But obviously, we must connect with this new season, amen, and see how God will begin to reveal himself in a very mighty way. Amen. Let me just, you know, before, since we're already in this direction, one of the ways to apply ourselves to a new season, I want to use the example of the book of Esther. You all know the situation, because the Bible allows this to be examples for all of our lives. They were in one season where the enemy has programmed them for destruction. You all know the story. And the handwriting of the enemy was already written for their destruction. The fear was there, every situation was there, and it was a done deal as far as the enemy is concerned, the lord of the land is concerned, the condition. So that was a season they were sentenced to destruction. But then God led them into a time of prayer, a time of concentrated prayer, unified concentrated prayer for 3 days of prayer and fasting, no water, no food, nothing. And there was an explosion in the spirit. There was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough. There was a change. The season, seasons as far as spiritual things are concerned to the natural world, always begins in the spirit. Nothing changes in the physical realm until it's changed in the spiritual realm. Everything always begins in the spirit. So when there was explosion in the spirit, nobody would have known it. But Esther said, 3 days, I just step out by faith, do this 3 days and believe God. You know? So 3 days, they believed that something has happened. So nobody knew, but it was a big shift in the spirit. A door has been opened, the enemy has been shattered, the angels are now in the atmosphere, God is ready to move, a new season has come. But that season will not be manifested to the physical realm unless we step by faith. So it was Esther who stepped up by faith, contrary to what was on the ground physically. He stepped up by faith because the spiritual realm has already shifted. As she stepped up by faith, that's when she started seeing the manifestations of a new season. The king shifted, everything shifted, and because she experienced the first shift, she got confidence and started taking more steps of faith, more steps of faith, more steps of faith, and then Mordecai, and gradually they now saw the full-blown manifestation of a new season where God shifted and gave the sense of God back the kingdom, their position, and their place of authority. So you can also see in the days of Elisha, they were in a very bad season. Here is a people that God has blessed, but they entered into a season where heaven shut rain. A lot of things has been taken from them, and then the worst of it, the enemy came, the Syrians came, and beseech them. So they now lacked so much, and now the enemy is around them, and there was no more food, and things were drying up. There was nothing. Just the worst season, one of the worst seasons written in the history of Israel. And you all know what happened in that season. Their children and women were just terrible. So now, when that season was that bad, all they needed to hear was a word from God. And Elisha, being a prophet, received it. You know, when people walk in the prophetic office, whenever God wants to speak, he will normally speak to that prophetic office. And it's left for the people to walk it out by faith. So Elisha, being in that prophetic office, received the word about a change of season. It's already happened in the spirit. So Elisha declared what he was receiving. And as Elisha declared it, confirming that a shift has taken place in the spirit, then what happened? Nothing changed. But until four lepers were quickened, you see, faith has action. Four lepers were quickened, and they felt, if we sit here, we die. If we go, they had to arise. They had to change their position and move into a new position. So the four lepers, as soon as, if you go read it in 2 Kings, as soon as they took one step in the direction, the step of faith in the direction of the enemy, then what was happening in the spirit started being activated. The angels went before them by twilight and already started destroying, visiting the camp of the enemy. So by the time the people that are now working out what has happened in the spirit, they are now working it by faith in the physical. By the time they got to the camp of the Syrians, they did not see an enemy there. Instead, they saw a manifested blessing. A blessing that was so big, and it fulfilled the prophetic word that was released. So, when we have come into an atmosphere like what happened this weekend, and we have heard throne room prophetic words from the Lord, whomever dares to step out and to begin to partner with God to step out by faith might be the one carrying the breakthrough for the rest of the people. So I just want to encourage us to meditate on what God has spoken and ask the Lord, how do I manifest? How do I step out by faith? How do I apply what has been spoken in my personal situation? How do I apply what has been spoken in my family situation? How do I apply what has been spoken in regards to a shift in the atmosphere of my city or the nation? How do I begin to zero into this current atmosphere based on what we have received? Now, another way, again, to look at breakthrough in the spirit. You see, when Jesus spoke to the disciples over and over, and it was something that was a clear word that he's going to be killed, he's going to be beaten and later killed, and on the third day he will rise again. It was a prophetic word. But it was so deep that it was not practically human to believe that that would be a reality. So when that really happened, when Jesus was, crucified, it was hard for the disciples to really believe, that. Nobody believed it. But here's what happened. On that third day, the word that Jesus spoke happened. There was a shift. He rose from the dead, but he was not the physical person to, he was not in the physical nature he was before. So what did he do? For 40 days, he was manifesting spiritually. So those who were looking for a physical manifestation did not really get to, experience it. But he revealed himself in a very infallible, special way for 40 days. But who were the first people that experienced his resurrection? They were women. Why did the women receive that? And then the women were the ones that went and shared it with the disciples. Why? Because the Bible says the women on the third day rose up very early and they went to the tomb to look for him. maybe in their mind, of course, they wanted to go take his body from the grave or whatever they need to do. They wanted to be the first to get there. But also in their mind, they might be acting. Probably he's been raised from the dead, like he said, we want to see him. But something in their heart believed on that third day. And they went there, and Jesus appeared to them. And they were the first people to connect with a spiritual move of God that nobody was aware of. And for 40 days, many people were encountering a change in the spiritual climate of Israel. Jesus, it was not until after Pentecost and things started, it started multiplying, the manifestation started taking another shape. But something has shifted. Resurrection was a manifestation of the defeat of Satan, that the kingdom of darkness has been defeated and the kingdom of light is now reigning. And Jesus was the first fruit of that move of God. And the women who believed in that third day were the first to experience a spiritual awakening. So we must walk by faith after we've received what we received this weekend and all the confirmation that came. And we must begin to pray into the breakthrough, not praying into the past. You must pray into the expectation that has been released. God told Abraham after many years, after Abraham encountered God on the 1990 year, and God told him now to begin to change his name. Why? Because God is saying, don't call yourself by the old name. Begin to call yourself Abraham now. Meaning, God had to call Abraham to align his words with what is already taking place in the spirit. You know? So we must begin to pray the breakthrough or the things that we've received by faith that God says is doing in this new season, and begin to thank God and begin to pray with thanksgiving into the expectation of what has been spoken, not going back to what it used to be. That's one of the steps of faith you can take in prayer and in expectation. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage us with this, so that we will not lose the wonderful breakthroughs and the wonderful blessing that God has given this weekend, not just for us individually, but over the climate of this nation and over the church. Amen. For the remaining time we have, I just want to quickly again encourage us in this direction. Again, this is connective to this encouragement I just shared about, taking advantage of the experience you had this weekend. But let me just add a few things for the time we have. I had a dream. And I think the dream was foreshadowing, some of the things that happened when I was at that conference in my room. And the dream really informed me about the seriousness of what God was doing. The dream was I saw thieves broke into somebody's house. And they broke in and, they stole things. And it left the person bewildered. And then I woke up and I was wondering, what does this dream mean? And the Lord started dealing with me about John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I have come that they will have life, and they will have it more abundantly. Now, what the Lord started showing me the condition of somebody that has been violated by a thief. You remember the story of Jesus told about the story of, a guy that was traveling and he was robbed. A thief, The way the dream went, it was not just somebody that came. Somebody that came to steal, just to steal something and go away. The best way to describe it is what we call armed robbers in Africa, just armed robbers. Armed robbers are just different from an ordinary thief that just comes to snatch your thing and run away. Armed robbers are people that they have been programmed in a demonic way to create a job. And that job is nothing but to violate what other people have inherited through their hard work, through their possession, what other people have. Their job is a job. Is they've been trained, armed, just to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's how they possess. So, the Lord awakened me to the condition of the church. To the condition of the church, the condition that you find people who have been robbed, the condition people are in when somebody has violated them, stolen from them, it paralyzes them, it demoralizes them, it shatters them, it does something to their mind. And if they completely stole everything from you, it leaves them totally impotent and totally violated, confused, and shattered. It's just like sometimes if you see this identity theft, you know, or whatever people do, just it's a violation, it's violent, it's wicked, it's evil. So the Lord was showing me that the only purpose, the only assignment, the only occupation of Satan after he fell was these three things: steal, kill, and destroy. So many people, every believers, have not come to the realization that there is one definition of Satan's occupation, and he's a thief. Satan is a thief, is a robber. So, now, and the only occupation is steal, kill, and destroy. Now, and he has done it through the ages. And whenever he succeeds in doing it, then he leaves the people he has stolen from demoralized, paralyzed, and they are no more functioning in their God-given purpose and identity. Amen. Now, what the Lord was showing me was also, you know, like if you look at the garden, the devil does not have the ability to usurp authority on any believer at all. The devil does not have any right whatsoever. It only operates when you open the door for him. And the only thing that opens the door is sin for him to come in. Now, as a thief, the Lord was showing me, and that's what the reason I'm sharing this, because I don't know what will be going in the next season, is I believe the Lord wants to start preparing our mindset to begin to shift towards the breakthrough that we've received, and to begin to step back, to arise, and begin to step into the position that God is restoring for us to walk in because of the breakthrough. So what happens with a thief is this. When a door has been opened and a thief comes in and violates and steals, you see, when the time comes for you to recover or to get the thing back, if you do not know what belongs to you, if you do not know what the thief has stolen, you do not know what has been taken from you, you will live content with satanic boundaries. You will live in a contentment thinking that is all that belongs to you. Let me explain what I mean by this. And again, this what I'm saying is God is calling us to recover all. Okay? So just have that in mind. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. When Adam and Eve, you know, when that door was open to deception, you know, it always comes to deception because he knows you're more powerful than him. They had authority, they had dominion, they had all this stuff. They were not grateful and they were not gathered. When the deception came and the thief stole, he came in by deception, stole from them. And then what did he do? After they ate that, what darkness came to their soul, so that sinners shall die. And then what else? Then the next thing is to, you know, eventually destroy them without their God-given purpose. Now, that was the beginning of Satan's strategy and an example of what he likes to do. So now when Satan stole, he stole their authority, he stole their dominion, he stole everything. Now, when the subsequent generations started coming, if nobody rises up when God begins to restore things, nobody rises up to say, what was our legal position before the fall? What was our right? What really belongs to man? What is it that belongs to God's children? If you do not have a correct understanding of what belonged to you as a legal child of God, you will not be able to recover exactly what was stolen. So, I'll be able to utilize it. So that's always been the pattern. So after Adam fell, of course the days of Noah came and God again reestablished his dominion and authority and stuff. Then another example I just wanted to give again is the days of Joseph. Joseph again, God set him in position to show again the restoration that those in alignment with God's, in alignment with the purposes of God, when God restores his people, this is how it will look like. God calls them into a place of leadership, a place of dominion, a place of wisdom, a place of provision. I mean, a place where God just said, this is my son, Joseph. You know, where the world. So that's restoration God did through Joseph. But again, after a while, the thief came through deception, through a process, through worldliness. The children of Israel lost again. God dealing with the children of Israel. They lost again their position. They lost again their identity. And when they lost all these things, just like Adam, they fell. And they fell, and the thing was reversed again. And the pharaohs and Egypt took over. And the reverse was now, they now reigning, and the children of Israel are back to a place of slavery. Now, if you raise up children all through that generation, those children raised for 400 years, they will grow up thinking their identity was under slavery. And the boundaries that the Egyptians had set for them is what they probably believe was their portion. So when they came out of Egypt, as long as they're in Egypt, that's what they think, because that's the boundary of their mindset. So when Moses came again, God restored again the position of sons and daughters. He brought again a new mindset. This is what it looks like when God restores his people. So Moses represented another, again, a position of restoration. He humbled Egypt, and then he plundered Egypt. The wealth was recovered. The people came out of their control, and then they were given a place, a promised land. And God made that clear. When my people are restored, this is the position of authority. This is the position of rulership, the position of provision. This was in the Old Testament. And God started a work with the children of Israel and established that. I just talked about the days of Esther. You see the same thing there. When God reversed it, God put them back again, said, this is what it should look like. You know, the days of Daniel, even though Daniel was not the king, but Daniel influenced the thrones of Babylon, you know, and literally influenced again. God was using Daniel to reveal sonship, reveal relationship, reveal the position when God restores his people. Amen. So now, I want to read a scripture to you to describe what happens when God's people fell, especially in the days of the children of Israel through the Old Testament. It was in the days of Jeremiah that Jeremiah really, after warning Israel and begging them not to allow so much sin that, you know, that gave room for the enemy to rule over them, and they did not listen. So as that happened, they fell and they lost their position. Here is how Jeremiah lamented the fall of Israel, to show you how we lose our positions and how we need to get it. So in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 16, if you read Lamentation, you see the weeping, the cry of Jeremiah. But chapter 5, verse 16, here's what Jeremiah said. The crown is falling from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Israel went into slavery again and lost their, that word crown, lost the place of ruler, royal leadership in the world. Royal leadership, people who are partnering with God. But again, anytime God restores, he puts them back in that place of authority. Now, really quick, for the few minutes we have, so we can touch this and see how to continue next time. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus came and did the perfect restoration. Perfect. He first of all came, lived out the life that God has provided for his sons and daughters. And then after he lived that life as an example, he died to establish that as a standard for sons and daughters. Say, greater works you shall do. But it's a process to get there. So we know he did all that. But here is how Paul, who also discovered this inheritance and really, really fought and contended to walk in the fullness of what Christ provided. Here's how Paul described his experience in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He said, who had delivered us? He says, giving thanks, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then really quick, I'll read this last one and share with you what I'm saying. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, here's why I read the scriptures. The dream I had was about a thief. And the thief comes in the night. It comes in the night. The Bible talks about those that are drunk and are drunk in the night. Okay. Why is night connected to the thief? Why is night connected to the thief? See, because in the spiritual world, Satan, from the time Satan fell, Satan became, Satan became what we call today the power of darkness, okay? So, the power of darkness, he has power, but that the power of a fallen angel, but that power was cursed, it became the power of darkness, okay? So, like I read it to you, Corinthians, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and into his marvelous light. So, Satan's power is power of darkness. What does that mean? It means that Satan does not have authority to operate in light. So, Satan cannot operate in light, meaning Satan's power is illegal under God's authority. For example, we have thieves, natural physical thieves, and then you have policemen. Now, thieves, armed robbers, they are armed. They are thieves. They come at night. They go to steal at night because they cannot legally operate because they go to steal, kill, and destroy. So, who are the protectors? Who are the people that defend the policemen? Okay. So, the policemen have a legal authority. They have a legal authority to operate. So the thief comes at night and they go to people's house to steal. So what happens? When the thief comes to steal and you call 911, they hear the police coming. What does the thief do? The thief runs away. Why? Because his power and his arms are illegal. He cannot operate. So the police represents light. The thief represents darkness. So basically, here's what's happening. So every time, what is happening is Satan's power is illegal, is darkness. He cannot operate when there's light. And in the spirit, there is no controversy of power and authority. In the spirit, just like in the physical realm, light and darkness cannot compete in terms of power. The only reason that darkness operates is when there is no light. So Satan only operates where there is no legal authority. And the only thing that takes away legal authority from God's church or God's people or from us was opening the door for sin. Sin opens the door for darkness to come in. And once you keep sinning, you open the door for darkness to come. In other words, you give permission for an illegal authority to operate. So there has never been a controversy where power is. David says, once have I heard twice, that power belongs to the Lord, authority. God reigns, and God has no contender. The only time Satan has right to operate is through accusation, through sin. And if you don't repent, and you keep opening the door, then you open the door for darkness. That's the only time Satan legally comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what happened to Adam. That's what happened to the children of Israel after Joseph. That's what happened in the days of Noah. That's what happened to the ages. That's what happened to Israel. They rebelled and sinned so much that they opened the door in the spiritual realm and they came to the place where they lost their crown. But then through repentance, God restored to them. Like the days of Esther, through prayer and fasting, God reversed this in the spirit. So why am I sharing this? It's because in Isaiah 60, you will see the proclamation there. It says, arise and shine. Why? Because your light is being restored. Your light has come. Because the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He said, though darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness, but the glory of God, meaning the light rules over darkness. And light is the position of kingdom authority and rulership in the spirit and in the physical. And what gives strength and power to light is a holy life. It's just righteousness. Amen? So, tonight, because of the prophetic words at the Willing Women Conference and what God is doing in this season, a new season is simply by faith giving yourself to begin to allow God change your mindset from whatever has been the past. For example, if the wicked has been ruling, if conditions has been whatever we've been going through, God is saying in the spiritual realm a change has taken place. Now begin to arise and begin to yield yourself to the mindset of royalty, the mindset of legally taking your place of authority in the area of prayer, in the area of worship, in the area of praise. Begin to see yourself living under an open heaven when you worship. Begin to see yourself living under an open when you pray. It's not going to be something overnight, but start somewhere. Begin to think in the realm of you are the child of a king and your father owns a kingdom and there is no other power outside of him, you know, operating at this time in your life. You know, as long as you don't open the door for sin, begin to see yourself covered in light, clothed in light, because you're surrounded by the kingdom of God. So it is time for us to start changing our mindset from giving Satan too much legal grounds. Because darkness means It cannot operate on the light. And the power of darkness simply means it's illegal for that power to operate over a believer. That power only operates over unbeliever. When we were in the world, it says the God of this world run our course. But now that we are born again, we're seated at a different place. And darkness has no mixture with light. That's the best way to look at it. So a shift is taking place, and gradually the reversal, as we begin to obey God, we're going to keep seeing how this will begin to manifest in the physical over the seasons of our generation. And God will surprise us as we go. But let's take little steps to allow God to start shifting our mindset a little bit, at least to make him feel that we appreciated what happened at the Willing Women, or for those that were not there, to begin to really believe by faith that God has come, the light of God has come, and is driving darkness away around your life, around your family. So begin to shift your mind from where you've been and begin to trust God for a new season and speak into that new season. Amen. We'll continue as the Lord leads next week. But we're going to, let's believe God to really take what is happening in the spirit and begin to transform our thinking, our mind, to begin to receive whatever God has prepared for us that our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard. It's time for us to begin to walk in some of these things by the grace of God. Father, I thank you that you continue to open our eyes of understanding. You continue to empower, oh God, the words and the things you've done. Father, that we will not just allow these things sit on the shelf, but we will walk it by faith and allow, oh God, you to manifested breakthroughs and miracles in our life. We thank you, Father. We walk and we yield to you. Have your way in this season. And Father, bring that change that we've cried for. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory.